Here it comes. The latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. Indeed, Spotlight on the Southwest. Thanks for joining me tonight. My guest has been a regular on the Mrs. Green's World Show and on Down to Earth with Mrs. Green since we started. My in-studio guest, I'm happy to welcome back Colleen Crowninshield.
Thank
you. Colleen is the head of the Clean Cities Coalition, whose mission is to promote the use of clean fuels and clean fuel vehicles in partnership with the Department of Energy. And I would like to add that Colleen's program is a part of the Pima Association of Governments, has been the recipient of numerous national and local awards for its outstanding success. And
thank
I do
you.
Not say that lightly. That is absolutely true. Thank you for being here. We are going to talk today about one of my favorite subjects because you have to really educate yourself. And when you do, you find out a lot of really good things. Compressed natural gas.
CNG.
CNG. Yep. That's going to be great. It'll make more content for the show. Let me just quickly invite all of you that are listening tonight to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram so that you can follow me on things like this show and really educate yourself about things that matter to our community and ultimately to the planet. And you can join me every Saturday at noon for my show where I interview guests from all over the country, including I have interviewed Colleen on every aspect of sustainability you can imagine. I always like to add, yes, I've done Green Burials, which was one of my most, it was really a fun show. So Colleen, welcome.
Thank you.
And let's just launch into what is the advantage of using natural gas in regular vehicles versus gasoline? Lots of people have to ask you that question, and lots
they
of people
do.
Out there listening are wondering about it.
Well, compressed natural gas is not only much cleaner, it's about 98% cleaner
that's
than
huge.
A petroleum vehicle.
Like, huge.
And that's an EPA rating. That's not my rating. So it's huge. And we have about a 100-year supply of natural gas. So there's really no reason not to be looking at natural gas for fleets and for consumers.
So that's major. I don't think most people know that. Like, why compressed natural gas? Because far fewer carbon emissions, which we should all care about.
Makes a lot of sense.
And what about the issue, which is always coming up also about, it's mined in the United States. It's extracted in the United States.
It is.
And that's a big deal. So can you talk a little bit about that?
It is a big deal. And one of the things that I like to tell people, because I have a lot of people who ask me, you know, why do you promote alternative fuels? Why is it near and dear to your heart? You know, I have a son who has told me in no uncertain terms that when he turns 18, he's going into the military. And I tell people that I would rather he guard a cornfield in Iowa than an oil field in Saudi Arabia.
You have actually said those words
I
on
have.
My show.
And you know, it just, if people will stop and think about it, and you know, when we buy petroleum, you know, we do get a lot of petroleum from countries that do like us, Mexico and Canada,
right?
But a lot of our petroleum comes from areas that, you know, they don't particularly care for us. So, you know, I'm more of a realist than most. I think that it's going to take everything, and it's going to take petroleum as well. But I think that we have to start looking at alternatives. We're not going to have the supply of petroleum forever, and we really need to start looking at alternatives like natural gas. It's very important.
And it's not clean burning.
Petroleum is not very clean burning.
We all use it, but I'm a diesel gal. Thank you, Chapman Tucson.
That's right.
But to me, I talked to you a little bit this afternoon about the complexity of issues and really taking your time as a consumer to find out more and to do the homework. And then you find out about why CNG is growing in popularity.
Yes.
And you find out about the supplies in the United States. And to me, it's like, I don't want our country to be dependent on anything. And of course, we are.
We are extremely dependent on petroleum.
The less we can be, the stronger I believe we are as a nation. Now, there is actually a way that can be made renewably. I'm going to listen carefully. And you are working on a big project with Pima County for biogas and wastewater. So explain that in layman's terms.
Okay, I'm going to do the best I can. But what we do is we will actually take, as we're making wastewater, you know, there's wastewater everywhere. And Pima County has a very large wastewater facility in North Tucson up in Ina Road Treatment Plant. And what we will do is we will capture the methane from that treatment plant, and we will produce natural gas, and eventually every one of Pima County's vehicles will run on natural gas as well. It's going to take us a while to get there, but it's renewable. It's right there. We're already producing methane from wastewater right now. So there's a whole process involved, and people can just Google it online. It's very easy to find out the process, and it's not as complex as people think it is, but really it's just a cleaning of the fuel. Of cleaning of the methane, and you have to dry it, you compress it. There's many things that go into it, but you can use that, and it's a renewable resource.
And even if I had someone on the show go step by step, it's not what people need to know.
No, it really isn't.
It's that you can take wastewater.
Exactly.
And then what will be done with the product that is produced once you do it? Will it go to compressed natural gas stations? Will it be sold? What will happen?
It is going to go into our own county fleet.
Oh.
So think about right now, you've got about 1,700 vehicles that the county right now runs and maintains. All right. So that's everything from large Vector trucks, TV trucks for your sewer treatment plants, I mean, or for your sewers, you know, they have to take all of those vehicles and they have to run those on petroleum right now. That's very expensive. If they can be manufacturing their own renewable resource, their own renewable natural gas, and running it in all of their own vehicles, how much do you think that's going to save the county each year?
And it's a perfect segue to... You have been instrumental. This is not in the list of questions that I had planned on talking about, but it really presents an opportunity for you to talk about it. A lot of people say green is more expensive or sustainable is more expensive. This flies in the face of that.
Absolutely.
And it's one of the things you use to get to people and businesses and show them factually why they should convert, not just businesses, but municipalities, school districts.
Absolutely. So and I think it's important, really, Gina, to look at a fleet itself as well. And Golden Eagle Distributors, now most fleets are not going to do anything that is going to cost them more money. Okay, they have to be able to maintain that fleet, and they have to be able to run that fleet within a certain budget. When you're running petroleum in a fleet, the fluctuation in the price of gasoline right now is making it very difficult for fleets to run and operate, own and operate that fleet.
And you know, you and I know what Golden Eagle is, but they're massive consumer. They use a lot of fuel, so it's a
lot of fuel.
Big expense in their budget.
It is our local Budweiser distributor, and their largest expense is their fleet.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
That's their largest expense. And when they approached me and asked me to help them look for an alternative, at that time, they were not looking at natural gas specifically. They wanted to look at everything.
And they really did.
And they did.
They studied it.
They looked at running waste vegetable oil. They looked at running biodiesel. They looked at running ethanol, propane. They looked at everything. And as a whole, penciling it out over 5 years, they thought that, well, penciling it out, it would see that they would save about $8,000 a month in fuel costs alone. That's huge for a fleet.
And the other part of that partnership that I love, so it was you playing a role in providing them with the information mm-hmm. and the connections, and it's the ultimate public-private partnership.
Absolutely.
A stellar example of our tax dollars at work, and I always like to bring that up. This is what government working for you and
Ryder. Exactly. Ryder was a wonderful partner in this because they saw the importance of what they were doing, number one, but they also saw that penciling it out again, it was going to save everybody money in the long run.
It's triple bottom line.
Absolutely.
It's like they benefited as a company, and Ryder really saw the vision, and the planet certainly benefited. And it's money. It's money.
It's money in their pocket. It's greenhouse gas emissions saved. It's petroleum saved. It's the wear and tear on the trucks. I mean, you don't have to, the oil changes are much fewer. It's so clean burning that there were things about those engines they didn't realize they were going to save money on.
You
so Ryder loves it because it saved them money in the maintenance of the vehicles as well. So it's great project. And I think that it's really important that you emphasize it, that public-private partnership. You know, your tax dollars are paying for me to look at these programs and help you guys out. And that's, you know, it was a perfect public-private partnership.
And what happened as far as, you know, you are part of a national coalition and you go yes. to meetings and you know, you just explain and share intellectual property mm-hmm. or whatever that's called in your field where there are experiments and good examples. Are other coalitions looking at what happened here in terms of
Absolutely.
The Golden Eagle Rider Clean Cities
Partnership? I have now worked with three other Budweiser distributors in the United States in areas that did not have Clean Cities coalitions to help them connect with the right partners for this exact project in their cities and states.
It's really great. So they're not just early adopters. They're pushing the needle forward.
They are movers and
shakers.
Saving
money. I can't say that enough. How does the cost compare to natural to when I go to the gas and I have diesel.
So retail,
that's expensive.
Retail it does make a when we're talking about owning and operating your own station, you're going to even save more money in the long run. Not up front, but in the long run. But retail right now, you know, you're paying about $3.05, $3.08 a gallon right now for petroleum, and natural gas is about $2.59. But it's regulated. It is a regulated utility. They can't change the price of that fuel every week. It doesn't happen that way. And I think that our natural gas retail has been about that for 2 years now.
And the people in the everybody that's out there that lives on a budget, which most of us do, mm-hmm. and gas is a line item in the budget. When gas goes up, even if it goes up over $3, restaurants suffer. I mean, there's just a really serious ripple effect. But what about, I know that has to be one of the things is, so I'd love to have a compressed natural gas vehicle. Where can I get gas? What about the barriers and how do you address that? And talk about what your goal is to move the needle forward with fleets, which will then hopefully have a ripple effect to
Absolutely.
Automobile owners. Is that
and it is. Accurate? And that's and it is. People say, well, that's not really fair. You're just working with fleets. We don't only work with fleets, but that's our main focus. And the reason that's our main focus is because the fleets are the ones that have the money to be able to put the infrastructure in that the public can use. Right now, Golden Eagle, you know, they partnered with Trillium Corporation, which builds natural gas stations. They've built the natural gas station on site at Golden Eagle, but it's open to the public.
And if you go in there, how do you pay for it? Do they take like a debit card or what do they do?
They do. It's set up right there. And you know,
it's like getting gas, only it's compressed natural gas.
Absolutely. And there are several people that I know in our community, people, you know, like Alan Kaith, who have a dedicated natural gas Honda Civic and they'll pull up and fill up their car. But the other thing that people don't realize is that there's home fueling infrastructure that the general public can purchase as well. There is a thing called a fill unit that can be put right into your garage at home. You have to have natural gas at home. So you have to, you know, you have to be able to have Southwest Gas already at your home. They're not going to put in an extra line just for you they will, but it's going to be very expensive. But if you have natural gas at home that you cook on,
you can tap into that line.
You can tap into that line. It's about $1.40 a gallon.
And when you are approached about that, people, I am sure, say, well, what about if it explodes and on and on and on. It cracks me up. And I'm glad you rolled your eyes. This is
what
I wish we had a TV because you think the gas you're putting in your car at the pump, light a match around there. It's less volatile. Why do people have that mindset? Because if you have natural gas in your home, the same potential exists. Am I right?
Same potential exists. You're absolutely right. I think people are always afraid of the unknown.
And
you know, I have a lot of people that tell me, you know, I used to promote, and I still promote, I think it's very important that people look at mass transit if they can. And, you know, people go, I've never ridden a bus before, I can't do that. You know, people are afraid of the unknown. They don't understand. You get on the bus, you pay your money, and you go. You know, and you can research the safety of natural gas, but I have to tell you that natural gas is safer in your vehicle than petroleum is.
I have so heard more than you, and you're an expert, and many people say that. And it's overcoming, not stupidity, but ignorance. People don't know, and they
lack of education.
Lack
is what
education.
I call it. Lack of education. And people do not want to educate themselves on something they just don't know. It takes too much time, they feel, to educate themselves on something that just is so far out there. You know, I have a wonderful book It was put out in 1983, a magazine talking about natural gas as a motor fuel. This has been around for a very long time. I think people and propane has been used
since before I was born.
I know. And propane has been used in farm equipment for years and years and years and years. It's just bringing it to mainstream. I think people just don't understand that it can be brought to the mainstream.
Change and fear of running out. I know when I've been to meetings with you about electric vehicles.
Yep.
Well, what if my battery dies and I'm here between here and Phoenix?
Well, what happens if your gas tank
dies?
Exactly. What happens when you have no gas left in your gas tank? It's
you
the
just have
same
to feed
idea.
The monster.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good idea. So how are, you mentioned that Alan has a Honda Civic, mm-hmm. compressed natural gas. How are manufacturers responding? And is there more of a demand now than there
Absolutely.
Was? And is it like, can you buy, a compressed natural gas vehicle at a local
you can and
car dealership?
I think
Chapman would be happy to
absolutely. But every major auto manufacturer now is starting to build alternative fueled vehicles, and mostly gaseous fuels. So, and gaseous, I mean propane or natural gas. Those are gaseous fuels. And Chevy is coming out with, I think, 7 models in both light duty, medium duty, and heavy duty. And I know there was some question on that as well. Light duty vehicle would be considered a day-to-day vehicle that you drive, whether it be a Honda Civic or a Chevy Cavalier or a Honda Accord. Those are light duty vehicles. Medium duty would be like my Avalanche or something that you could haul things in, a truck, say a Chevy Silverado.
Like
or
an SUV.
That's medium.
More.
Yeah, those are medium duty. And then a heavy duty is going to be geared more towards the fleet, something that Golden Eagle would drive or Pima County would drive. And every major auto manufacturer is responding now by building some sort of medium, light duty, and heavy duty natural gas vehicle. So they're all starting to see that people are opening their eyes now and they're saying, you know what? The fluctuation in petroleum, yes, it's gone down. It went down, I think, to $1.99 in some stations for a while, but it's right back up to $3.05 a gallon.
I know. And who knows? I always keep thinking it's going to go up to $5. It's just a matter of
time. Well, in California,
there
are some cities in California right now that it is over $5.
That's really just, talk about cost prohibitive and impacting the middle class and the working poor. It's pretty heinous.
I believe, though, Gina, that until we start really paying the true price for petroleum, and what I mean by that is we're not subsidizing petroleum in any way, and until we really start paying that, in Europe, it's $8 a liter. When we start paying that, the American public's eyes will open up.
I lived in Germany, and I will never forget it as long as I live, and it was a really long time ago, decades. And I lived in a bubble. Mm-hmm. Americans do. And then you go over
Absolutely.
There and I'm like, and at the time I think gasoline might have been $1.29 here or something like that, something ridiculous. And then you go over there and it was $4 or $5 mm-hmm. a gallon. And we were living on military non-officers pay, and they subsidized all of the airmen and the people in the military so that they could afford gas for their cars.
And
I think it's shocking.
Until the American public really sees prices like that, it's hard for them, again, to want to educate themselves that there is a better way.
So be honest. Do you see that happening in our lifetime? I mean,
I've already seen it happening.
We could do 20 shows on subsidies collapsing, which would be really nice to let companies stand on their own.
Yeah.
But the subsidy for gasoline, it's really kind of a disgrace, actually.
It is a disgrace. And I love it when people say, oh, but we don't subsidize petroleum. Oh, my goodness. I want people to just go online and Google that. Google that very phrase. Does America subsidize petroleum? Just Google that one phrase and the
so
energy
do you think that the
information.
Oil company, the gasoline companies lobby for that?
Oh, I don't know. They got a whole lot of money, so
I'm sure they spend millions and millions to
There's
make
a
sure
lot
those
of,
subsidies stay in place.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So what about the I wanted to ask you about really and truly sustainable jobs. And I think that we really decided, and I agreed, that we don't need to go into the discussion of fracking because you said there's 100-year supply the way it stands. And a lot of that is getting sorted out. And there's public demand, public pressure, the transparency.
Absolutely.
So it's hopefully there'll be more regulation. But in terms of sustainable jobs for the natural gas facilities now, are they sustainable? Do they last? Do they come into community and stay?
We we assume, as we've been penciling out the biogas project for Pima County, that we will likely create about 100 jobs when we put that into place.
For the experimental program with the biogas?
Yes.
That's 100 jobs?
100 jobs. And those are well-paying jobs. Those aren't, you know, just $5 an hour jobs. Those are minimum wage jobs. Those are well-paying jobs.
To create wastewater into gas. I mean, this is part of the journey of Mrs. Green that I just light up.
It's
the hope for the future.
Absolutely.
Now, when you go to, I don't think we've ever gotten into this when we've been on a show and we have time. When you go to approach a municipality or a school district, do you try to push them in one direction?
No.
Or what do you do in terms of here's what your choices are? Talk a little bit about the choices and why someone might choose, say, diesel over a compressed natural gas, which has happened.
Usually what we do is I will go in and evaluate a fleet first, all right? And let's just pick a school district because I'm glad you brought that up. And school districts, you know, I will not allow a school district to pay to be a member of our coalition. It's all they can do to keep the buses on the road. And I have kids who are school-age kids.
Kidding.
So keeping those buses on the road is really difficult for them. So what we do is we'll go in and we'll evaluate that fleet. How old are those buses? Are they 1990? Are they 2010? You know, how old is that bus? Realistically, how much money are you going to be spending over the next 5 years on that fleet, on a new fleet? Because a bus itself is about $200,000. So there's not a school district in Tucson that's going to be able to go out and buy 100 new buses.
No kidding.
Okay.
Especially right now.
Absolutely.
When there are a lot of them in a state of collapse.
You have to really look at that fleet as a whole. How much money are you thinking over the next 5 years you're going to spend on that fleet? Because that right there is going to really weed out some of the fuels. And then from that point, you look at what their maintenance costs for that fleet are, all right? And then you want to look at what you have on site that's available to you for fueling. Because if you don't have a high-pressure gas line that runs right by your fuel yard for your school,
right,
natural gas is out of the picture right there. You know, it's just too expensive. It's eliminated.
Right.
So what are their options at that point? Do you have propane? Propane is a great option for a school district. Do you have propane on site? A lot of them will have propane on site. At that point, we've just brought in a new possible fuel source. Most school districts right now are looking at grant opportunities. We do have a large conglomeration of school districts right now that we've put together to look at what's called DERA funding through EPA. It's Diesel Emissions Reductions Act funding that we're going to be helping school districts with applying for that grant so that they can look at cleaner options for those school buses. Most school districts right now, if they don't have a grant opportunity, biodiesel is going to be their best option because diesel is what they have on site. And when you're looking at EPA grants, and this is another thing I think is so sad and we really have to look at in EPA and within any funding source, if you get an EPA grant for a school bus, and it's through what we call DERA funding, Diesel Emissions Reductions Act funding, you have to take out of commission the bus that you're going to be replacing. So you can't use it in a smaller area or sell it off to another school district to help raise money to buy the new. You have to completely put a hole in the block of that engine. A lot of school districts can't afford that kind of taking a vehicle out of their fleet right now. So really, biodiesel for school districts has been one of the best options. We do have some school districts right now who have been getting bonds. They've been getting bond money, and they do want to look at natural gas buses or propane buses, and we're moving forward with them as well.
And I know you've explained it before, but we have new listeners all the time and people tuning in. What does it take to convert fleets to using biodiesel? You just don't change.
That's one of the beauties for a school district. There's absolutely no conversion needed. You can just put biodiesel right in the engine of a diesel engine.
Which you can't do to a car.
Yes, you can do for a diesel car.
Okay, so my car.
A diesel engine. Any diesel engine can use biodiesel. Any diesel engine. And most auto manufacturers right now are approving 20% biodiesel. So any diesel engine. And then that's the other thing that I don't think a lot of the general public realizes either, that if you have a diesel engine and your manufacturer is telling you that they will null and void your warranty if you use biodiesel, it is a federal law that they are not allowed to null and void your warranty It is up to the auto manufacturer to prove that you are not using an ASTM standard fuel.
That's big. Okay, so when you're talking about you meet with a fleet and you assess them, mm-hmm. and you look at their fleets and you mm-hmm. do all of this assessment, I would like to know, and I can't believe I've never asked you this either, in terms of the mechanics of it, is that part of what the National Clean Cities Coalition helps with, of giving you the tools where they give you the data,
yes.
and there are formularies, and
yes.
then it's evaluated and they come back to you? So you gather the information.
We gather all the information for them. We talk to the what we call OEMs, the original equipment manufacturers. We talk with the fuel distributors to ensure that they'll be able to get the fuel or put a fuel station in for that fleet.
You and your staff of 10.
Yeah, don't I wish?
I just thought, so say that, like, okay.
It's a big job.
It's a big job. It's a really big job.
But it's, I tell you, when you look at the success of fleets like Golden Eagle, you can really look at yourself in the mirror in the morning and be happy with what you see.
And the Clean Cities Coalition meetings. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about how you use those. And are they, if someone from the public wanted to attend one, could they just sit in the audience?
Absolutely. They're open to the public. They're all open to the public. But, you know, we're really fortunate in Tucson that our Clean Cities Coalition members are phenomenal.
And usually the ones that I have been to that I can attend, there's SRO. It's standing room only. There are lots of people from all private sector, public sector,
wanting to work together.
And wanting to learn.
And that, I have to say, is really what we used for the Green Line shuttle service for the GEM show.
We used coalition members. Thank you for bringing that up. We have time to talk about that. The GEM show, for someone that might be listening from Illinois or, you know, somewhere in Iowa.
It is the largest GEM show in the world.
And
Tucson is rocking it.
We always thank God here in Tucson for the weather. Like, it's GEM show. Please be gorgeous.
And it has been.
It's postcard weather.
It is. It absolutely
postcard
is.
Weather. And we'll have another show someday about who you want to be your guide at the GEM show. She knows the booths. She knows the vendors. But talk about what you did and how that came about.
Okay.
Because people are going to say, what are they talking about? The Green Line shuttle.
It's phenomenal. I was approached by the city of Tucson, the liaison for the city manager's office and the GEM show. And he needed to put together a shuttle service for our frontage road, our freeway frontage road GEM show hosts, and the Tucson Convention Center, because we have a lot of construction going on here. If you've never been to Tucson right now, you've got so much construction going on, and people don't know how to get around that construction.
Did they hurry up a lot to get some of that down
before
the GEM show.
It's such a
huge economic boost to our economy here.
But it was really difficult for the actual vendors to get back and forth to all of their booths. So they needed to have a shuttle service that could just run around downtown in the convention center. No, it's for anybody.
And the public?
It's
okay.
for anybody, and it's free. I love that. So they came to me and said, help us out. You've always wanted to do an alternative fuel shuttle for the GEM show. Help us out. So we contacted some of our coalition members, and one of those, and I can't say enough about Arizona Stagecoach, one of our newest coalition members, phenomenal group of people. And we asked them if they were interested in giving us two vans and allowing us to use those two vans for constant shuttles every 15 minutes around a specific area and calling it the Green Line Shuttle. They're dedicated natural gas vans. We contacted Clean Energy, which is one of our retail CNG stations, and we contacted Southwest Gas, who is paying for the fuel.
You got to be kidding me.
No. And
can we talk about the public-private partnership and our
Absolutely.
Taxpayers' money at work again?
Absolutely.
For the good of the planet.
For the good
of the planet.
I want to
bring that up.
And the good of our own local people.
Good of our own
so
local
we're,
people.
So we're paying those drivers. They're not doing it for free, but I got to say, Arizona Stagecoach has given us the vehicles for free.
And they shouldn't
and
do
they're
it
paying,
for free.
And they're paying all of the insurance on those vehicles and all the maintenance that, you know, they lease those vehicles. So, you know, all that they're paying for. Clean Energy gave us the fuel at $1.99 a gallon. Southwest Gas is paying for all the fuel, and those are free shuttles.
I feel like we should ring the bell for that.
I think you should.
We get to ring the bell once in a while. So let's do, we just got the 2-minute warning. I feel like that.
I hate that.
If you're at a basketball game, you really like the 2-minute warning if you're winning, but not if you have more to share. So let's really go through, how do people get in touch with you if they want to find more out about Clean Cities and attend a meeting or look at the calendar?
They can always go to my website, which is www.pagnet.com. P paginet.org. Or they can always go to Mrs. Green's website and she'll connect you with me.
I will be happy to. Info at Mrs. Green's World anytime. Thank you, everybody, for being here with us tonight. I invite with you to connect with me on Facebook and Twitter because I'll be Facebook and tweeting about the show.
Yay.
And be a part of Mrs. Green's World because we will keep you informed. Thank you.
Thank you.
PEMA Association of Governments, Colleen Crown and Shield and Clean Cities for all that you do to make our world and our community a better, safer place.
Thank you.